Well, on a more fundamental level, car shoppers want to know, really, where the best bang for their car shopping buck is, quality and price. That's what they want to know. Tomorrow, the Toronto Auto Show kicks off, giving buyers a sense of what's out there and where the automakers may be taking us in the future. Joining us to talk about what's out there and what car shoppers need to know before they take the final test drive is Paul Timoteo, president of CarCost Canada. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Let me ask you this. Will the recent quality problems at Toyota and to a lesser extent at Honda affect the way these two automakers pitch the Toronto show?
I don't know how much of a difference it'll make at the show. Those sorts of plans are put in well ahead of time. I think it definitely puts their salespeople on the defensive, though, especially with Toyota being so much in the headlines and yet being the almost like the poster child for the perfect car up until a few weeks ago. That's basically been their big stronghold is how reliable and high quality their cars are. Yet this is definitely going to be tainting their reputation, that's for sure.
And of course, no doubt, all of the car companies have spent considerable development dollars on fuel efficiency. And I'm wondering now, could we look at a situation where, you know, as you say, the salesman who's attending the Toronto show finds himself in a situation where actually reliability is trumping fuel economy?
Well, that's true. You know, everybody wants reliability and everybody wants fuel economy, but you know, it's kind of like when it hits the headlines, that's when everybody kind of really starts talking about it. And it's a bit of a challenge. Well, one thing about the auto show, you don't have to deal with salespeople. Typically, they don't even have salespeople. They just have greeters or presentation people, which aren't even salespeople. And I think that's one of the attractions. People like going to the auto show without feeling that they're being hounded by a salesperson sort of thing.
Would you suggest that there are some guys go to the auto show to see the girls? Is that what you're saying,
oh,
Paul? Yeah.
I think that's happened the odd time. I heard a rumor about that. I'm not quite sure.
Which companies do you think, though, stand to gain the most from the quality problems at Toyota and that airbag issue at Honda? Who could stand to be the winners here?
I think the big winners will be for the diehard Japanese buyer, and there are a lot of them out there, who may have bought a Toyota or Honda or may not have even have considered another car before, will now look at, say, Nissan or Mazda and Hyundai especially as the big winners there. So maybe Honda and Toyota might slip into second place on their wish list as opposed to first. And a lot of people are also looking at the domestics again. You know, a lot of people may have had the domestics on their shopping list, and maybe the Hondas and Toyotas were kind of winning out more often than not. Where now they're going to look at them a lot harder. Ford's reputation for quality has just gone through the roof. They're coming out with great products. So I think they're in a great position, both because of their product, because of the J.D. Power and Consumer Reports all saying that they're great and they're winning all kinds of awards, and the fact that they didn't get the bailout, I think, is a mental thing that a lot of people are giving them kudos for. But GM is coming out with some great product now, And even Chrysler's got some good products. Some of their stuff is a little old, but overall it's pretty decent. So it's really hard to buy a bad car nowadays. You know, and so it's a real battle to try to figure out, you know, what's the right car for you. And that's why a show like this is important. You can go out and kick all the tires and sit in all the cars and see which one makes sense for you.
So you don't think there's a chance that imports in general will get tarred with the same brush here?
Maybe a little bit. I think for a lot of the people who maybe wouldn't have bought them anyway, they'll kind of use that as an excuse now. But they wouldn't have bought one anyway. You know, there's still a big market, especially in rural Canada, for trucks and SUVs and that sort of thing. And the Japanese have never really played in that market. They've kind of tried to play in that market, but they've never really done a very good job at it. And so for those sorts of buyers, which still represents probably 50% of the buyers, The Japanese cars aren't really on their radar anyway. So those are the sort of people who say, "Oh, I'd never buy a Japanese car." Well, you weren't going to buy one anyway. So what's the point, right? But for people who are kind of wavering between, you know, a GM, a Ford, a Chrysler, a Honda, Toyota, etc., you know, quite often people have three or four cars on their shopping list, you know, on their short list, and you know, this sort of thing can kind of change the position a little bit. You know, and unlike the Olympics, you don't get a medal for coming in second place on somebody's shopping list. You either sell the car or you don't.
Yeah, good point. Excellent.
So, so it's really important to make sure, you know, you get all the check marks beside your name. When it comes to attracting the car buyer, there's no question.
For our listeners who have not been at the Toronto Auto Show, how does it compare to the one in Detroit? Because in Detroit, of course, we see so much from the dream side of things, yep. The futuristic, what may be down the road 10 years from now. Does the same flavor exist in Toronto, or is it more a current build show?
I think it's a little bit more of a current build, although the Toronto show is an international show. It has that new designation, I think, as of a few years ago. But it doesn't get, you know, the most recent concept cars and that sort of thing that Detroit would tend to get. And it's also not as domestic-focused, because obviously the Detroit show is a lot more domestic-focused being in their backyard. So you'll get more variety, because I know there were some manufacturers that didn't even display in Detroit, where they will in Toronto. So the mix is different. I think it's more of a consumer show than a media show. So it has more of the cars that the average person would actually go out and want to look at, as opposed to just you know, all the pretty girls, although there are a few, as opposed to all the concept cars and that sort of stuff. But I don't think there's quite as much at the Toronto show as there is in Detroit.
Do you really get a chance to get up close, though, and personal with the cars themselves? I mean, can you get in these things? Do you?
Oh, yeah. No, the great majority of the cars are open. You know, some of the higher-end exotic stuff may not be open, but pretty much everything else is.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about buying strategies for the buyer, because I know you're heavy into this at Car Cost, and you offer a lot of advice to buyers. First of all, what mood are buyers in right now? Because I would think that with all that's going on, they're in a pretty strong position.
Oh, absolutely. I think for the last 12 to 18 months, it's been definitely a buyer's market. Maybe not quite as much as it was a year ago when the world was going to end as far as the headlines were concerned. But the deals are still out there today, and they're plentiful. And the most important thing we always try to stress is, you know, almost what we try to stress is relieve the stress. So the common stress that most people have in the buying process is the actual negotiation. And people tend to get stressful when they're not comfortable in the situation. So when you're not comfortable, it's because you don't really understand it. You're not familiar with it. Nobody really has experience at buying a new car, even if you buy one every 3 or 4 years.
And if you're not a numbers guy, let's face it, I mean, you're dead in the water here. I mean, you just feel like you don't know where to turn, right?
Well, sure. And the whole thing is, we try to give you the direction. So in other words, you know, you can price out that car at MSRP or the retail price at any manufacturer's site. But obviously, nobody wants to pay that price. And very few people ever do. So what we try to do is we try to give you a gauge, because typically the salesperson will say, okay, well, how much would you offer me for this car? Well, unless you have our information, you're just taking a shot in the dark. You have no idea what a good price is. Is a $500 discount a good price, or is a $5,000 discount a good price? You have no idea. We try to fill in that blank for you. So when you build and price your car on our website, it will show you two columns of prices. So we'll show you the retail price, which is the price that you'll see in the window sticker, or MSRP, common expressions for it. And then we have what we call the dealer wholesale price, which is also known as the dealer invoice price, and that's what the dealer pays the factory. So therefore, if there's a $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 spread between the two, you know you've got that much room to negotiate. Now, you're not going to buy it for the dealer invoice price. Obviously, the dealer has to make some money. But at least you know somewhere between those two numbers is a fair number. And then there are there's basically two different levels of additional incentives. So there's what's called a factory to consumer incentive. Those are incentives that are offered to the consumer directly from the factory, and it's almost like a mail-in rebate, but you don't have to mail it.
That's the ones you see advertised, right?
That's the ones you see advertised, yeah. But not all of them are advertised. Some of them are advertised.
Not all of them are advertised?
No, not all of them are advertised. Okay. Some of them are, some of them aren't, because there's a lot of things like graduate rebates, loyalty programs, conquest programs. There's all kinds of different stuff that half the time the salespeople don't even know them all, because it's impossible to keep track of all this sort of stuff. But that's what we do. That's what our data department does. They research all this information. Then over and above that, there's what's called a factory-to-dealer incentive. So those are incentives that are very rarely advertised, and it's extra money that's offered to the dealers to move not necessarily slow-selling product. It's just product that the manufacturer wants to sell more quickly. So it may be a hot-selling car, yet it may still have a factory-to-dealer incentive on it. And that's extra money that if you know about, the dealer will pass along to you. If you don't know about it, the dealer may or may not pass along to you.
So would you actually have percentages or figures with respect to these discounts available as well?
Yeah. What we instead of giving you percentage, we actually give you the hard number. So you know that particular car was $29,475 and the dealer cost was, you know, $26,243 or whatever, and then there was a $3,000 rebate and a $500 cash incentive, and we kind of itemize everything on the particular car that you're looking at. So as opposed to a typical ad, which has, they throw all kinds of numbers at you, so you really don't know what you're getting at until you actually sit down with the salesperson. What we do when you come to our website, you can actually build the exact car you want with the options that you want, and then we'll tell you the incentives that actually apply to that particular car and how to apply them. So therefore, now when you're sitting down with the salesperson, you know exactly what you're talking about. If you're a serious buyer, you're also a reasonable person, you know the dealer has to make a 3 or 4 or 5% margin, and that's okay. But at least you know what that number is. And when you're negotiating, you know what you're talking about, salesperson knows what you're talking about, and the whole stress gets relieved instantly.
So in theory, if a buyer goes in with armed with the information that you provided, they could sit down in front of a salesperson and say, look, let's cut to the chase here. I know what you've got in the car. I know what the deal is here. I'm prepared to pay you 4% mm-hmm. over invoice. Right. You say, yes, we have a deal, and we don't have to go through with this dickering or anything. Let's forget this.
Exactly. It makes life so much easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
You see, because the craziest thing, and even I have this argument with some dealers, a lot of dealers come around, they've kind of realized, oh, okay, well, actually, maybe this isn't so bad after all. Because the initial reaction from a lot of them is, oh, my God, what are you guys doing? You're killing us, right? But then I also tell myself, you know what? Most consumers are willing to pay a 5, 6% markup because they think that's fair. And most dealers are willing to accept that. So why is this always an argument?
And isn't it true, too, that there are deals lost because the consumer gets in there, they get talking, you go back and forth, and the guy's running back and forth to his sales manager, and it's going on and on. And finally, the person's getting confused and frustrated, and they just end up walking away.
Well, sure, because the consumer really, unless they know what the right numbers are, they're just taking a guess. And then even if they do buy the car, they're coming home, and on the way home, their head's spinning. You know how many people buy our membership? You know, it's only $40, right? But people buy our membership after they've bought the car. I said, well, why are you buying our membership after you've bought the car? It's too late now.
Yeah, you want to find out what mistake you made.
Right? Because they said, well, I wasn't sure. I wanted to make sure. I said, well, you do that before, not afterwards. It's too late now. I'll still take your money, but
you know,
it's going to make you feel better.
If you're armed with the stuff that you provide, too, it must be difficult because we know in this game that some dealers, particularly, you know, if you're shopping, say you go to an area a long way away from where you live, it's not uncommon to get lowballed by a salesperson who they know you're out shopping. They want to get you back in, so they lowball you. And in essence, the theory is at the end of the day, when you go back, you'll find out you can't buy the car for that amount, and they try to upsell you. Boy, when you're armed with this stuff, though, you can just go in there and say, you know, there's something funny here. I know what you can afford to sell me the car for. So, you know, let's cut the garbage here.
But well, that's just it. And what it also does, it saves you running around from dealer to dealer.
Yeah.
Right? Because who's got time nowadays? Right? And so if you just simply get our information, go into your local dealer, in 5 minutes, the conversation's done and you're driving, you know, not driving away with the car in 5 minutes, but at least the deal's done in 5 minutes. And because 99% of dealers, once they see one of our members with a price report, they say, okay, well, I'm not going to get rich on this guy, but I know I'm going to sell him a car, and I'm not wasting my time. And that's what they want, and that's what you want. It just instantly levels the playing field, and everybody just gets along. There's no more games to be played.
I always found it amusing, you know, you shopped car dealers in a specific geographical area, and then at the end of the day, you end up making a deal. You finally decide, well, this is the best I'm going to do. You make the deal. And the guy says, well, I don't have a specific vehicle in your color, but I can bring it in. Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, you find out that he actually dealer traded for the vehicle that you were bidding on at another dealer, right?
Yep.
I mean, this is
how
insane this gets over time.
Well, you see, sometimes that actually works against you. See,
so?
Well, because let's just say you go into your local dealer and you look at a car, but he says, okay, I don't have exactly what you want, but I can get it. Okay, no problem. And then you actually go and find that car somewhere else. Okay, let's just say it's 20 kilometers away. So now you're kind of semi-working a deal on that car that's 20 kilometers away. Knowing all well, you really don't want to buy the car from him. You want to buy it from your local guy, right?
Right.
So now what happens? Now you go back to your local guy and you say, okay, you know what? I've already found the car. It's at ABC Motors. It's 20 kilometers away. Can you get me that one? Oh, yeah, no problem. Now the dealer calls the 20-kilometer away guy and he says, well, no, I'm not going to sell you the car. I got a deal. I'm working on it. I've got a guy I think I've got it sold to, so I'm not going to give it up now. No, you've just killed yourself.
Crazy.
Because
game.
He thinks he's going to sell you. Two guys think they've got you sold, and neither one has you sold. It's crazy.
It is a wild game. It can be a wild game, too, isn't it? But seriously, though, do you actually have a symbiotic relationship, though, with car dealers? I mean, do they say, look, let's work together on this?
Oh, absolutely. And we've built this up over the last 10 years, and the great majority of dealers now, quote, get it. Okay, so in other words, you know, like I said, at the beginning it was always, oh my God, you guys are killing us. We can't make any money if people know what we pay. I said, no, that's not true. You know, I've talked to a million dealers, and they've all said, you know what, 3-5% margin. Okay, we can live with that. We'd like to make a little bit more, but that's okay. We can live with that. Okay, good. When I send you a customer, that's what they're willing to pay. Okay, done. Because I even tell them, I said, how often, talking to a dealer, right, how often have you butted heads with a customer who thinks you've paid less than you really did and therefore won't make you an offer even above your cost at all because he thinks you make more than you do? If the customer actually knows how much you make, people are reasonable.
That's one of the myths out there. The markups on new vehicles is not that great. It's not tremendous. It's not, you know, it's not 20%, 30%, that sort of thing.
Well, the thing is, in some cases it is. For example, if you've got a vehicle with a $5,000 or $6,000 rebate, so the dealer advertises it with a $7,000 or $8,000 discount, including his discount. So you see, let's just say that $30,000 car with a $7,000 discount, you see, oh, you see, these dealers make a ton of money. But that may only apply to that particular car. The car right beside it, which may have the same window sticker, but it's a different model, may not have any rebate on it, and you may be lucky to get $1,000 off. So the problem is people fixate on the amount of discount they can get on one particular car, and they just assume they can get the same discount on every car. Well, that's not the case. And the thing is, you don't want to be stuck buying the wrong one. You know?
Let me ask you this, Paul. How does the trade-in figure in all of this?
The trade-in is usually a separate issue. The dealer will typically give you a trade-in value, which is basically what he can wholesale the car for to another dealer, or if he keeps the car for his own inventory, what he would normally pay at the auction or what he would normally pay from another dealer to buy that car. And obviously, he's going to try to sell it for more, but he has to recondition it, he has to warranty it, he has to, you know, put new tires and brakes and all kinds of fun stuff on it. And he has to live with the headaches once he sells the car if something goes wrong with it. So, you know, when it comes to the trade-in, I usually tell people, so, you know, look on a site, let's just say like the Auto Trader or whatever, to get a ballpark of what people are asking for a similar car. And then deduct about 20% roughly from that, and that's probably what you're going to get on a trade depending on the vehicle.
Right.
At least that gives you a rough ballpark.
And the 20% deducts, I mean, that's incorporating the fact that no matter how good you think your car is, of course, people always overestimate what a wonderful car they have, right? You know, oh, it's my car's in mint condition, and yet, it, you know, I mean, it's been driven 40,000 kilometers a year.
Well, the thing is, I always tell people, I said, when you try to figure out what your car is worth, look at it with buyer's eyes, not with seller's eyes.
Ah, good point, yeah.
You know what I mean? So pretend that you're the buyer.
How much would you pay for this thing?
That's right. And the thing is, a lot of people say, well, it's a used car. What do you expect? I said, but you know what? You're a new car buyer. You're not a used car buyer. So to a new car buyer, a $30,000 car is a normal car. For his $5,000 car, to him, well, it's an old car. What do you expect? But for the person buying that car for $5,000, that's all the money they've got. They're going to look for the absolute best $5,000 car they could find. You see?
Good point. Yeah.
So, you know, you got to be careful with that stuff because it's not actually that easy to sell used cars, and a lot of dealers have to use you know, their own financing. You know, because people have $5,000 want to buy a $5,000 car, they typically don't have the cash. If they did, they wouldn't be buying a $5,000 car.
Exactly.
you know. So it's not that easy selling that stuff.
How do folks hook up with you guys, and how much coin do you need from us to get the service?
It's easy to find us. So it's just carcostcanada.com. So how much does a car cost in Canada.com? And the cost is only $39.95. It gives you up to 10 price reports, so you can build and price as many vehicles as you want. If you're a CA member, which half of our members are, they'll get a 25% discount, so now it's just under $30. So it's pretty cheap peace of mind. It's less than a tank of gas, and it'll definitely save you more than a tank of gas and having to run all over town. And saves you a ton of time and money. So
yeah, great idea.
It's definitely a good return on your investment, that's for sure.
Great idea. Paul, thanks for the time this morning.
Great, thank you.
Car Cost Canada is the website our guest has been. Paul Timoteo, of course, who is the head of Car Cost Canada. Take care, Paul.
Thank you.
Happy shopping out there.
Thank you. You too.
All right, there we go. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back.